Transparency with Mr. Jean. This podcast takes us through the lives and the trials and tribulations of those who have conquered and have become victors instead of victims. I am your host, Mr. Jean, and I'm a father, a singer-songwriter, as well as a motivational speaker. But more importantly, I'm happy you chose to stop on by. Hey, what's going on, my transparent people? It has been a second. I know I've missed you guys so much, but I've been working on this particular story because it is so crazy, but yet so inspiring. More importantly, today you will truly see how miracles work. And today I've got a gentleman who for 4 days, that's right, I said 4 days, was lost from a car accident. Stay tuned, you're going to find out more right here on Transparency. Hey, were you guys aware that Monday Motivation Volume 1 is now available? That's right, you asked for it, I did it. 10 Monday Motivations that can help stimulate you, motivate you, start your day off, as well as put you to sleep. You just have to go and click on the bio or go to the liveexperienceonline.com. Click on the product store and get your Monday Motivation Volume 1. Don't delay, get it now. Hey, before I get into what we are going to discuss this week, I want to let you guys know a couple of things. One, we actually have a Facebook family that we are building here at Transparency. It's a private page, but I'm offering it to you. So the first 100 people that sign up will be able to actually speak to me. Some people don't like the telephone number. This way, you can just send in your question to me, and I'll be able to respond directly to you through this podcast. It is on Facebook. It's Transparency. What's your story with Mr. Jean? Sign up today. I want to be able to speak to transparent people, answer questions, and have the dialogue that we all need to have in this journey of what we call life. So sign on up today. Be part of the tribe. Be part of the family on Facebook at Transparency. What's your story, Mr. Jean? Ladies and gentlemen, today I have a miracle on this phone. We're sticking with the topic of miracles. This gentleman here has a story that is more miraculous than I could ever have portrayed in any movie, Lifetime special. He is a natural standing miracle. His name is Paul Bonda. He is on my show, and we are going to get into his story that has transformed him from tribulation to triumph. Paul, thank you for being on my show.
Thank you. Thank you for considering me for your show.
Oh, no, no. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have him get into it, but I just want to give you guys a quick overview because there are questions that I definitely have as looking into his story. This young man, and I say young because he still is in the prime of his life, many things to do.
Appreciate that.
He has had this story from literally a car accident, which basically almost left you immobile, this transformation now of years later where you are a fitness instructor changing lives and using your story to help people understand that it doesn't matter where you start, it matters where you plan on ending up. Can you just take me back? I want to understand, and so I don't leave anything out. Tell me about the night of the accident.
Well, I actually have to back up just a little bit just so you can kind of get some context as far as where, how I was feeling leading up to it.
Sure.
So, I had just gotten off of work. I was working part-time over in Stanford for dining services. And every weekend, I always go visit my grandmother, who has always instilled a lot of faith in me. And she was just, you know, that was just my ritual to go there in Oakland. So I went from work all the way to Oakland to visit her. And then at the time, I was living in San Jose, so with my cousin. And so after that, I drove all the way to San Jose. I was pretty burnt out already, but then, you know, I figured, you know, I'm 16 years old. You know, I just started driving. And so So I went to go check out where my friends were. And so when I got to one of my friend's house, there was all our friends were over there, and they're already set to go to a bonfire.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I was telling them, no, I'm not going to go. I'm too burnt out from work and all that and just driving all day. But then a few of my friends didn't have a ride because there's just not enough cars. And since I was one of the few that had it at the time, so I was like, you know what, okay, I'll be a good friend and, and drive you guys to this bonfire. And the bonfire was over in Pacifica, actually Montero Beach, about a few miles south of Pacifica. And so going into, just to drive there was just eerie. It was just weird, you know, because I had gotten lost. And you know, back then, it was 1994, we didn't have the, the availability of like Google Maps or anything like that. So you have to kind of go by memory and just, you know, on how to get to places, right? So I actually got lost on the way over there. My friends crashed out because it was such a long drive, and I took the Santa Cruz way to come up and then go down, go up Highway 1 to go over there.
Okay.
So, you know, we finally get to the destination. You know, I felt kind of bad because I was, I was with my girlfriend, who's now my wife.
Sure.
We just started going out, and it was like three months into it. And so I wasn't really feeling the bonfire. I pretty much stayed in the car. I borrowed my friend's cell phone. And cell phones at the time were hard to come by. So
sure.
I had to go walk down to the beach and ask him, hey, can I borrow your cell phone? Go back up and use it to speak to my girlfriend.
Sure.
Yeah, I was that boyfriend was like, okay, I didn't tell her where I was when I went to the bonfire, and I felt kind of like, okay, I had to break it down to her and just tell her where I was. And, you know, we got into a little argument like teenage couples do.
Sure.
And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to, you know, at that point, I got off the phone, I gave the cell phone back to my friend. I went back up and just told them, like, you know, I'm going to wait in the car and just and wait for you guys to get done. And so I'm waiting in the car, and the thing is, you know, it was taking long, and so I was like, you know what, I'm just going to take off. So I just took off, and lo and behold, you know, going by myself, I kind of dozed off at the wheel.
Right.
And I, next thing you know, I wake up. I kind of remember, like, in the middle of the night, I didn't realize what had happened to me, but for whatever weird reason, I moved to the back seat. And it wasn't until I woke up in the morning, I opened my eyes, and you know, there's a bunch of trees and bushes all around my car. I was just like, you know what, you know, my friend's playing a bad joke on me.
Right. So, and so before you go any further, I just want to, so you fell asleep at the wheel and ended up in this ditch. Okay. So you thought your friends had given you, you thought your friends were playing a really bad trick on you.
And it was just crazy because I didn't realize the extent of my injuries at the time.
Okay. What were your injuries?
Right. So, you know, I go ahead and I put my hands on my jeans. I was wearing a blue jeans and, you know, back in the day, the tan boots and all that kind of stuff. And I was just a t-shirt and a windbreaker. So you kind of get a context of you know, what I was wearing. So I put my hands on my leg because I felt like my leg was wet.
Okay.
And so when I put my hands on my right thigh, and I look at my hands, there's blood all covered all over it. And I was like, oh, man.
Wow.
I didn't realize, you know, what the extent was. And then it was just weird because when I tried to lift my leg, the bottom half of my leg wasn't moving because I had broken my femur bone. I didn't realize that I did.
Wow.
And then also on my left ankle was hurting really bad. I took off my boot and I took a look at it, and then I knew it was dislocated because it was just, my ankle was out of place, and I had dislocated my knee a couple times already. So I tried to pop it back in, but I never dislocated my ankle, and I was unsuccessful as far as trying to pop it back in because that was the one that, as far as pain wise, that was the pain that was bothering me the most, was that dislocation.
Okay, so were you at all, so you were in the front seat still, or had you had the impact shot to the back seat?
No, I had moved to the back seat in the middle of the night. I didn't realize it until morning that I moved to the back seat. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you were that much asleep that the sleep over basically just moved you to the back, and for forgetting all the pain because you were so tired. But now you're in this brush. Nobody knows where you are. You have a broken femur, broken ankle, slowly losing blood. Am I saying this correctly?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. You know, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I was having a hard time breathing. And I was wondering, why was I having such a hard time breathing when I'm at sea level? And it wasn't until I in the hospital that they told me that my left lung had collapsed.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Right. So, I mean, I was out there for 4 days, 3 nights. I'm not sure how deep you wanted me to get into. It's pretty long.
No, please. Yeah. Go as deep as you want. my question, okay. Especially what I was, because I was, okay, I kept visualizing this in my mind. It's like, okay, his hip is broken, knee is out of socket. Ankle is dislocated. Left lung has collapsed, but for 4 days. And I'm like, okay, there is nothing more than to say that you had angels covering you by the grace of God. People were praying for you. But it's like, for those 4 days, like, what kept you going?
Number of things. First off, you know, I mean, the faith in the Lord that my grandmother had instilled in me, that's one, because, you know, I think everyone, I may be saying this a little prematurely, but I think everyone will, sometime in their life, will go through a test of faith.
Right.
And it just so happened that that was my time, because I was a teenager. You know, I was trying to figure out what to do with life. I was in between my junior, senior year. I was going to go into my senior year. I was thinking, okay, I'm going to, you know, try to do better for myself. But at that point, I think my faith was tested. And from what my grandmother had instilled in me early on when I was younger, in my formative years, it really it was inside me to try and keep going. And
right.
Good Lord, you know, He put me there for a reason.
Okay.
The second thing, and probably one of the most important things, is that, you know, the only thing I had on me was a pager.
Right.
And there's no cell phones, really, right? And it was hard to come by. So I was getting pages from my girlfriend, who was my wife. And so she was paging me her first day. You know, she was upset. She was like, how come you're not calling me back? And two of the second day where it turns into worry. And it's like, okay, I'm worried about you. Where are you? We're looking for you. I love you. I'm here with your cousin. And back then, you know, there was no text. It was all speaking through numbers.
Right. No, yeah, you're basically 411, 311. They're sending you now 911 pages. This isn't a Sky pager that you can say help. This is...
Right. Exactly.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So I'm just placing the picture. It is your faith. It is your girlfriend sending you these like most of us young adults can remember, the where are you? I'm mad at you. To worry. To panic. Text. Those are the two things you've mentioned so far that kept you going. Was there anything else?
The fact that, yeah, I mean, I think those are two main things, really. My belief in the Lord, and, you know, I was praying out loud while I was there.
Right.
Like, I was having a conversation with the Lord. I mean, that was just pretty much what, it's almost like, I don't know how to explain it, but.
No, I get it. I get it. It's, if you're having that conversation with God, I'm curious. Did you know the sound of his voice?
I've never been asked that question. I don't know if it's so much a sound, but more of something that's internal.
Right.
That kind of resonates within your heart.
Okay.
And you just know.
You just knew.
And I don't know how, you know, how else to say, you know, because, I mean, God's all around us. It's not a...
Sure.
It's not a being. It's not... It's greater than that, right? So... I'm not sure how else to explain it, but, I mean, it's another level.
Right. It, No, I can only imagine, you know, if anything, was there maybe one conversation you had with him that his energy was so strong that you were just like, okay, I sense your presence?
If I had to choose, it would be the day I was
Ugh.
yelling out and someone heard me. It was on the fourth day.
Sure.
I mean, I'd have to fast forward to the fourth day to about that conversation. So, through the 4 days, I was going out in and out of the car with two, because actually my ankle that was dislocated, I didn't realize it at the time, but it was also broken. And both my legs were broken, and so when I had to get out of the car and go in and out of the car, I got out on the second and the fourth day. Just on a whim, I was
Oh, wow.
crashed close to some water, and being so close to the ocean, I thought it was salt water. But I was able to taste, and it was fresh, and that's what kind of kept me going as far as water goes, with a combination of trying to find some insects and killing ants and eating ants at the time. I saw that in, I think, an army movie or whatever. It was just, and all that blood loss and cold nights, just to kind of sum it all up, brought me to the fourth day where I go out the second time to go get water. The amount of energy it took me to get back in the car was just immense. I mean, so I. After that, getting water that fourth day, I went up to put my head, laid my head on the back bumper, because my you have to realize my car hit the side of I guess the hill
Okay.
and then rolled back down, so the back bumper was lower, and the front of the car was
Right.
smashed in and nose up. So I had my head on the back bumper, and I was just kind of thinking, okay. I was praying to God. I said, God, if I'm going to survive this, please give me the strength and the power to endure. So however long I
Right.
will survive, until I get out of this. Otherwise, please take my soul now, because my soul is completely all yours for the taking. From then, a couple hours go by, and I hear something different other than the cars zipping by on Highway 1. Almost like people talking. And so, as I usually do, I yell out for help, SOS 911. I
Right.
say, hey, help. And then all of a sudden, someone responds back and says, who is that? And I'm like, I'm down here. I've been down here 4 days. I my car got into an accident. My legs are broken. I'll give you anything. Please help me. And then they're like, are you playing a joke on us? And I said, no. Please don't go away. And so I could kind of see through the bushes
Right.
as some shadows walk around to maybe like where the edge of the cliff is, and they look down, and they yell back to me, and they say, hey, we'll get some help. Just stay there. And so soon enough, a helicopter comes in, paramedics come down and scale down the hill and get me out of there. But back to your question, I mean, out of all of my conversations there, I just, that was kind of like a turning point, where God gave me a second life.
I got a question for you. How far was your drop?
100 feet.
And I think here's something that as you were telling me the story that it just stuck out to me when I said, "What was your turning point after you had prayed?" You said, "I heard a voice." And I'm over here having a praise dance for a second for you, 'cause I'm like, "He heard the voice and you shouted out back." It was like you said, God, take me now, or almost give me a sign, and you heard a voice. I'm over here just like, okay, God, I see what you're doing. I see the fact that you actually were paying attention enough in that state to be like, something is different here. They thought you were playing a joke. The helicopter came, pulled you out. Your second life is now beginning. From that second life, after they pulled you out,
Yeah.
I know your family was praising God. I know that, you know, your girlfriend probably is now madly in love with you because she takes back everything that she's ever said dirty about you or mean about you because she's happy for your safety. But I guess my question that I'm really curious is, with this second life, what were the steps of rebuilding you? Yeah, I know. So good. It's incredible. And the story gets even better. But I gotta stop it here. We're gonna have it up for part two next week. Stay tuned. More importantly, if you like this episode, please share it with somebody. Let them know they got a shot. Let everybody know about transparency. I look forward to seeing you guys next week. I want to thank you guys again for tuning in. Every week I'm actually trying to get better, to present you guys something that is from the heart, more importantly, that you can relate to. Now, Gary Vee says it best, so I'm going to quote him. Sharing these thoughts is like oxygen to me. So if they resonate with you, if you feel that this can benefit somebody, subscribe, share, more importantly, like all my platforms, Instagram, Facebook, thealiveexperienceonline.com. And I look forward to speaking and sharing with you guys real soon. Be well.